I'd like to turn your attention this evening to Psalm 22 as we've been going through the last couple of weeks, Hope in Troubled Times. I've been staying in the Psalms, and Psalm 22 is an appropriate psalm for our meditation this evening, a Good Friday, and actually also for this coming Sunday, Easter Sunday. And the reason is that the first part of the psalm, verses 1 through 21, focus on the experience of suffering on the cross. And the second part of the psalm, verses 22 through 31, announces the resurrection and expresses praise to God. Now, Psalm 22, and I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 22 because we are going to look at that. Psalm 22 is a psalm of David, but scholars are not able to pinpoint the time in David's life when he experienced the kind of suffering to which he refers in the psalm. He did go through some very difficult times in his life, but the Lord never abandoned him and always provided friends to help him in his time of need. Moreover, the suffering described in this psalm is not the kind of suffering of someone who is experiencing a very severe illness or perhaps an injury from battle. It is an astonishing description of one being crucified as a criminal. And what makes this astonishing is because crucifixion was not known in the time of David, as it only became a form of execution many centuries later. This fact has led one Old Testament commentator to write, "No incident recorded of David can begin to account for this. The language of the psalm defies a naturalistic explanation. The best account is in the terms used by Peter concerning another psalm of David. Being therefore a prophet, he foresaw and spoke of the Christ." Now, most scholars agree that Jesus was meditating on Psalm 22 as he hung on the cross on that first Good Friday. As I read for you Psalm 22, verses 1 through 21, you will see many of the expressions that confirm this. Some of the reading was given actually in the New Testament that was read just a while ago. So please follow along as I read to you from Psalm 22, verses 1 through 21. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel, and you, our fathers, trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued, and you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm, not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me, they make mouths at me, they wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breasts. On you was I cast from birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help me. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers surround me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones, and they stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. Just so far in God's inspired and inerrant word. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this psalm and for the riches that are contained in this psalm as we meditate on it tonight. Open up these truths to us for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. After Jesus had the Passover meal with his disciples in Jerusalem, they then went to the Mount of Olives. While Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas came and betrayed Jesus with a kiss to the security police of the religious leaders. Jesus was then arrested and kept overnight under guard in the house of the high priest Caiaphas. In the morning, a hastily called meeting of the Jewish Sanhedrin convicted Jesus of blasphemy. Jesus was then taken to Pilate, the governor of Judea, for sentencing. The Jewish leaders were not allowed to sentence a person to death since they were under Roman occupation. They weren't allowed to do so, but they wanted Jesus sentenced to death, and so to Pilate he went. When Pilate met Jesus, he vacillated. He struggled to know what to do, but he eventually gave in to the pressure and ordered Jesus to be sentenced by death or to death by crucifixion on a cross. And so around 9 o'clock on that Friday morning, Jesus was nailed to his cross. Jesus hung on the cross for about 6 hours, from 9 a.m. the morning until 3 p.m. in the afternoon when he died. But from noon until 3 p.m., there was a sudden, intense, and very unusual darkness that came over the entire land of Israel. James Montgomery Boyce writes this. He says, "The darkness was sent by the Father to shield Jesus during the hours he was made sin for us. These were private hours. It's as if God had shut the bronze doors of heaven upon Jesus so that what transpired during those hours happened between himself and Jesus alone." During these hours, and especially these 3 hours of darkness on the cross, it's clear that Jesus was meditating on Psalm 22. We shall see how Jesus saw Psalm 22 as, or his crucifixion rather, as a fulfillment of Psalm 22. And I would say to you this evening that the verses we read, Psalm 22 verses 1 through 21, gives us the experience of the sufferer. The first thing I want us to see is that the sufferer experienced abandonment by God. He experienced abandonment by God. The opening words of Psalm 22 are the most emotionally gripping words of the entire psalm, and perhaps even in all of Scripture. David cried out in verse 1, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, David lived an exceptionally crisis-filled life. We've been studying the life of David, and we've seen some of the experiences that he had. And there may have been times when he felt abandoned by God. As I said earlier, we don't know when David wrote this psalm. He may have felt abandoned by God when he was on the run from murderous King Saul, or perhaps when the promises of God didn't materialize as quickly as he thought they might, or when he experienced losses, personal losses in his life. We don't know when he experienced abandonment by God. I want to ask you, Have you ever experienced abandonment by God? I've experienced a few very precious, sweet, sweet moments of communion with the Lord. But I've never experienced abandonment by God. I remember my pastor telling us a story when I was a student at the University of Cape Town. That story has stuck with me to this very day. He said that one day he went down to his study to go and read his Bible and to pray. And suddenly he had no sense of the presence of God at all in his life. He said it was as if somebody turned the light switch off and there was no sense of God's presence. He described it as an incredibly intense and difficult time in his life because he still had to function in terms of his relationship to his wife, his family, and his service to the Church of God. And then one day, months, or maybe not months, but many weeks later, he went down into his study again and he put his head in his hands and he cried out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" And then it's as if the light switch went back on again and he sensed the very presence of God in his life. My pastor went on to say that he believed that God gave him the sense of abandonment. He never really was abandoned by God, but he had this sense of abandonment because of sin in his life. He was an incredibly gifted evangelist. Every Sunday evening, our church had an evangelistic service, and as many as 20 people every Sunday evening were professing faith in Jesus Christ. My pastor said that his sin was pride, because he believed that he was South Africa's next Billy Graham. But he also believed that God gave him this sense of abandonment so that he would humble himself before the Lord. Now, when Jesus cried out on the cross, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He really was abandoned by God. He was being punished for sin, but not his own sin. Jesus was paying the penalty for our sin. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For our sake, he made him," Jesus, "to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Jesus really did experience abandonment by God on the cross. And we don't really know how this is possible, but we believe it to be true because the scripture teaches it. Jesus suffered the wrath of God that was so fierce that his Father actually abandoned him when he was hanging on the cross. Jesus experienced hell that day so that we might experience heaven one day. Second thing I want us to see is that the sufferer experienced abuse by the people. The particular abuse that is being referred to here was that of being scorned and despised by the people. Now, there were times in David's experience when he did experience abuse by the people. I can think of one clear illustration when he and his soldiers were returning from the battles on the side of the Philistines back to Ziklag. And in the meanwhile, the Amalekites had raided the city and taken off with all the women and children. This led the soldiers to speak of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul. So Psalm 22 verse 6 would have been keenly felt by David when he wrote, "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people." Again I ask, have you ever experienced this? That is, have you ever been scorned by people or been despised by people? I know that I have experienced the annoyance and even anger of some people, usually because I have deserved it, but I cannot think of ever having been scorned or despised by others. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and the elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And that's a direct fulfillment of verse 8 of Psalm 22, which undoubtedly was going through Jesus' mind as he was hanging on the cross. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Jesus' entire life was leading up to his crucifixion. The Father had never failed him before, and Jesus had full confidence that the Father would not fail him now. Nevertheless, Jesus experienced abuse by the people because he did trust in the Lord. And then the final thing I want us to see this evening is that the sufferer experienced the accusations of the law. The accusations of the law. Now, we don't know when David experienced the accusations of the law, as he describes in real severity between in verses 12 through 18. These verses clearly point to Jesus. Paul, quoting Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23, writes in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, as it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree.'" You see, the punishment for sin, the punishment for breaking the law, for being condemned by the law of God, was to be hung on a tree, and that is what a cross was. Verses 12 through 18 are an astonishing and remarkable prediction of what Jesus experienced on the cross. Look at those verses. Verses 12 through 13 and 16. "He was surrounded by his enemies." Verse 14a, "He was poured out like water." Certainly when they plunged the spear into his heart and blood and water came out separately. Verse 14b, "His bones were out of joint." When you're hanging on the cross, one of the results of hanging is dislocation of the bones. Verse 14c, "His heart was melted within his breast." Verse 15, "His strength was dried up completely." Verse 16, "His hands and feet were pierced by the nails of the Roman soldiers." Verse 17, "He was stared at and gloated over." And verse 18, "His executioners gambled for his clothing by casting lots." Can you see Jesus hanging on the cross, knowing that all these things were happening as a direct fulfillment of Psalm 22? Jesus was meditating on Psalm 22 while he was experiencing excruciating pain while suffocating to death. Now, this part of the psalm, the first part of the psalm, doesn't end here, however. Verses 19 through 21 are a turning point between the first part of the psalm and the second part of the psalm. Jesus prays to the Father, asking him to help and for the Father to come to his aid. And verse 21 actually ends on a note of triumph rather than despair. Some commentators prefer a different translation for verse 21. They suggest it should read as follows: Rescue me from the mouth of the lions, from the horns of the wild oxen. You have heard me. It's kind of a cry of Jesus on the cross as he is declining and he's coming to that point of death. He's saying, you have heard me. The darkness that Jesus experienced and the abandonment of the Father was coming to an end, and he was becoming aware of the Father's presence and favor again. The next part of the psalm, verses 22 through 31, announce the resurrection and express praise to God, and we'll be looking at that on Sunday morning. And so as we close, having examined the sufferer in verses 1 through 21, be sure that the suffering Savior has died for you. Jesus suffered and died to pay the penalty for sin. But it was not, as I said, for his own sin, for he had none. He was and ever will be the sinless Son of God. He died to pay the penalty for sin, for sinners like you and me. One of the great hymns of the Christian church was written by Charles Wesley. And he asks this question at the start of his hymn: And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain? For me who him to death pursued? Wesley went on to note that Jesus suffered on the cross because of an amazing love. He could not exhaust the meaning of this love, but Wesley knew that Jesus had indeed suffered and died for him, his only hope of salvation, as it is for anyone, lay in the suffering sacrifice of Jesus, as he said, 'Tis mercy all, immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. And so I ask you, has God's mercy found out you? Jesus suffered and died on the cross to save sinners. Are you trusting the suffering Savior to pay the penalty for all of your sin? I hope you do. Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank you for Psalm 22, which points so clearly to the suffering Savior on the cross at Calvary on that first Good Friday. I pray that if there is anyone watching this tonight who is not sure of his or her status before you, that you have paid his or her penalty, will you give that person faith and repentance? For those of us who are trusting in Jesus, would you encourage us as we rest our eternal hope on the suffering Savior who paid the penalty for all of our sin? And I pray all of this in his precious name. Amen.